If you're committed to giving God all of your worship, why don't you give him a praise this morning? Now, I didn't say some of your worship. I said all. The songwriter said, as long as I am breathing, as long as I am breathing, I will worship him. I didn't say I didn't have to worship through trials. I didn't say it would be easy, but I said I would make an intent and an intentionality to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's look to the Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you. We silence every other voice and every other contentious thought that tries to get us away from focusing on you today. God, we know an eclipse is coming. We can think of every myriad of thing to delve into, God, but we are deciding right now to give you all of our worship. Because as the other songwriter wrote, you deserve it. So God, we thank you for life. We thank you for health. We thank you for strength. God, I thank you for the person sitting to the left or to the right of me. God, I glorify your name for the walking miracle that I am in close proximity to, and I pray that your blessings flow from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Bless us now in this portion of worship where we wrestle with your text. It is inerrant, but we have to figure out how to walk this thing out in our daily lives. So strengthen us today to believe in miracles again. And know that you're able to do the impossible. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this time together. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Let all God's children say amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amen, amen, amen. Let the church say protection. To protection, protection, to protect, to shield, to keep one away from harm. And last week we talked about deliverance, and deliverance means once things have gone sideways, God, get me out of what I'm in. And last week our focus on deliverance was from deliverance from life storms and from what's going on inside of us. But this week we're seeking the word of God for examples of God keeping us from the dangers, from the troubles, from things that can harm us. When we're driving, we pray for protection. When our children are out of our sight or are at school, we pray for their protection. When the plane takes off in mid-flight and when it lands, amen, we are praying for protection. When the ground shakes, it is not supposed to, on this side of the earth, we are praying for protection. And we can articulate this request because we know who God is. We have an inkling of God's power, and we believe that God loves us enough to show up and keep us. And this week's text has to do with believing in the power of God to protect because God is present, and trusting the hand of God when he allows the trouble to come close to us. And although we may not like it, long before our pain, God had a plan to get glory even out of our tough period. Let the church say protection. So the title of our sermon series is When Pigs Fly, Do You Believe in Miracles? And the first point is, I believe in miracles because God is present. I believe in miracles because God is present. Our text focuses on Daniel in the middle of a lion's den in an effort to have him destroyed. But how do we get here? And who is responsible? And what lessons can I learn from Daniel's life? First, Daniel is kept because God is present. Daniel comes through being taken captive. He comes through fasting and coming out better than those around him. He comes through interpreting dreams for an angry king and having friends who take a stand for God and win. And none of this is possible without the presence of God in his life. You're here based on the presence of God and how much love he has for you. God is protecting you. It didn't matter who was in the office of political power, Daniel was kept. It didn't matter who was making the rules, Daniel was kept. It made no difference. God did no difference which king it was. God was in control. Daniel was kept. In other words, the political climate is not the deciding factor. God being on the throne is the deciding factor. God is protecting you. And can we have a moment of celebration or praise real quick for those of us who have experienced the protection of God even in the midst of rough places? Let me come a little bit closer. You may not like who's in the political office, but God has been protecting you. You may not like how it went that one time, but God has been protecting you. You may not like who said what to you and when they said it, but God is protecting you. Watch this. He's protecting you enough that you can lean on the Holy Spirit to know what to do with your money in the time of inflation. God is protecting you. He's protecting you when the coworkers and the boss get on your last nerves, but they don't know the God you serve. God is protecting you when what's going on in the streets, so you have the common sense to know when to stay in your house and shut your doors or ask this question, who all gonna be there? God is protecting you. Let somebody say, I'm protected because God is present. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Let the church say, God is protecting me. Psalm 32:7 says, you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Let the church say, God is protecting me. And if you believe that God is protecting you, one more time, give God some praise in this house. But if you read through the book of Daniel, there isn't a time where he gave up on God based on his surroundings and his situation. But I can gather that he may have felt unsafe based on what was occurring around him. His faith, his resolve in God was impeccable. But there may have been some feelings of trepidation in the lion's den. What happens when we feel unsafe? And I'm still trusting God. Does that mean that I'm a faithless or a bad Christian? No. We feel unsafe when past trauma comes up again. We feel unsafe when current environmental stressors bother us. We feel unsafe when we are rejected, when we fail, when we feel vulnerable. And safety is a fundamental human need. So how can we lean on God to ensure that this is met? God has promised to be there with you and I and gives guidelines in his word so that even in the worst of times, your soul can be at peace. Fact. Safety does exist, and you are deserving of it. The word says, God is your refuge and your strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Fact, when I'm reminded about times when I feel unsafe, I should focus on those times when I felt safe, and I need to remember those things. The word says in Psalm 77:11, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. Facts, when I feel unsafe, I need to make sure I'm getting enough sleep. I need to make sure I eat well and exercise regularly and hang out with those who have my best interests at heart. The word says in Psalm 4:8, in peace I will lie you down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Fact, terminate relationships with those who belittle you and are not trustworthy to make you feel safe. The word says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. Facts, discover what unconditional love is and what it really means to accept yourself, that you're not perfect and it's okay. The word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that so whosoever believes in him, perfect or not, should not perish but have everlasting life. Fact, seek out therapy to help face and go through what helps you feel unsafe. The word says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. The word says where there is no guidance, a person falls, but in abundance of counsel, there is safety. What I'm trying to say is when I'm feeling unsafe, I need to lean on the word of God. When I'm unsure about tomorrow, I need to lean on the word of God. When right looks left and up looks down, and even though the promises I think are leaving me, I need to lean on the one who controls the future and has my best interest at heart. When I'm feeling unsafe, I need to lean on him. There was a time I felt unsafe. There's a time I felt unsafe. I don't know if I told this story before. Amen. I'm going to tell it again. A time I felt unsafe. I went away with my wife for her birthday. It was her 40th birthday. It was great. Went out on the boat. Let me tell you, we almost didn't have a church. So went out on the boat. Everybody got in the water. And I hear somebody laughing in the background because that person knows the story. So we're on the boat, got in the water. And I got in the water, and I was fine, but I didn't pay attention to my surroundings. And the current started to take me away, and I started to feel unsafe. Now, I can swim in a pool, amen, but the ocean has a whole different thing to it, and the current will begin to pull you. Stay with me. So I started to feel unsafe. So when I started to feel unsafe, I called to my help meet my wife, my rib. And she was like, I can't get to you. So the current is taking me away, but I'm starting to feel unsafe. But the shout in the room is the captain of the ship was not far away. Oh, somebody gonna hear me in a second. When I started to feel unsafe, the good thing about my wife is she knew enough to tell the captain about what was going on. And when she told the captain sent me a buoy so he can pull me back to a place of safety. Watch this. The captain didn't stress. The captain didn't. In fact, I remember the captain looking over a boat, looking at me like, If you only stayed close by the ship, you wouldn't feel unsafe. But since you went too far, let me remind you that I'm the captain and I got your back. Somebody here needs a day to just be reminded. Anytime you get far away from the boat, you got a captain that is always present to make sure you're going to be all right. If you believe that, give God some praise. I got a captain. Now, I bet it will preach. She almost left me out there in the wilderness. Now, we know that God is willing to protect. What I'm going to challenge you for here is there are levels to this. God wants us to trust him and believe that he will protect us, but in a state of feeling safe, Daniel had to behave in a certain way in order to activate a certain level of protection from God. Hear me. Daniel, in the beginning of this chapter, is targeted by those around him because of how he carried himself. Verse 4 says, the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to condemn or criticize. He was faithful. He was always responsible. He was completely trustworthy. There's a place where God wants us to feel safe. There are reminders in his word. There are promises that speak to that end. However, if I want to receive a supreme protection at a higher level, then my obedience needs to mature. Then my following of Christ needs to grow. Then my intensity toward putting God first needs to increase. They couldn't find anything on Daniel because of how he carried himself. They couldn't get him based on how he walked among them. And the more he walked the right way, the more he was favored and was in line to be ahead of everything, even though he was captive in another country. It's not that God doesn't want to bless you. It's not that God doesn't want to move in your favor. It's not that God doesn't want to protect you. But perhaps what's messing things up for you and I is this. We are not walking in a way that is pleasing God. And based on our behavior, it's opening up our lives to danger instead of God's top flight security. Turn to your neighbor and say, how are you walking in this season? Listen, I didn't say perfection, but am I allowing God to perfect me? I didn't say blameless, but is there less to blame on me than there was last month? I didn't say spotless, but did you work with the power of God to get that stain out so you don't stand accused of that behavior in your life again? What part are you playing to partner with God so that your reputation precedes you and God is pleased with your life? And can anyone in a 9:30 a.m. worship say the following? Since God is protecting me, I'm not going to participate in that anymore. Since God is protecting me, I'm not hanging out with them anymore. Since God is watching over me, I'm going to carry myself in a certain way that my behavior opens doors. Come on, somebody. That my walk opens blessings so that he's keeping me so much so that even though I'm not in the room, you ain't got nothing to say about me because I'm walking in a way that pleases God. When pigs fly, absolutely, because I'm serving a God that's making sure if I walk the right way, he will keep me. If you believe that, give God some praise. So the text for today is going to come up on the screen. It's Daniel 6, starting at chapter 16, or verse 16. It says the following. So the king gives the order, and then he brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the light of first dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. Verse 23 ends us out. It says, the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And second point, and I'll go take my seat. What happens when God allows it? Now, prior to this moment in the text, those who were jealous of Daniel and his safety and his protection were trying to find a way to tear him down. So they coerced the king to create a law that says anyone to praise to any god except for the king shall be thrown in the lion's den. Even when I'm following Jesus, my life will not be trouble-free. Daniel learns of this law and has a choice. Will I stay faithful to God and keep praying at my window facing Jerusalem, or do I yield and stop praying or pray in private for the sake of self-preservation? When your safety is compromised, will you still choose God? Daniel decides to pray. The jealous leaders see him. He's arrested because it's a law that it was signed by the king, and it has to go through even though the king can't go against his own word. Our text picks up with Daniel being placed in the den, the stone being placed at the mouth of the den to prevent escape, and a king who is distraught at his decision. Daniel follows the rules. Daniel follows the protocol. Daniel is keeping with proper behavior, and yet God is allowing this to happen. Is God at fault? No. God gives free will, even to those who want to do Daniel harm. Has God forsaken Daniel? No, because we see that Daniel comes out on the other side. But the part that we don't like about this text is that God allows Daniel to go through this period of not feeling safe and seemingly the protection of God is broken down. We would have liked better if God came down and smote those who were plotting against Daniel. We would have liked it better if something happened to those who are against Daniel and those who are against us on a day-to-day basis. We would love the story if the king says, I don't care what I said, you ain't hurting Daniel, don't put him in that den. And this is what we say to the Lord, God, keep me from the storms and let me bask in the sunshine of my life. God, keep me from the seasons of illness and chronic pains that come from a decaying body and let me go through this existence pain-free. God, keep me from saying goodnight to a loved one. God, keep me in a season that I love and keep it on repeat. God, keep me from anything that's going to compromise my safety, because I know you're God, but my faith becomes shaky when you allow me to go into the den. And be honest, some of us are not looking for protection. Some of us are looking for avoidance. So I can get out of the trial, God, that you assigned to me. Avoiding a storm doesn't make you a bad Christian. It makes you human. But maturity says that I trust God even when he allows what I don't agree with. James 1, 2 to 4 says this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Daniel and resurgence, because of how you walk before the Lord, you are tailor-made for this trial to see it to the end. Daniel and resurgence, because of how you acted, God could correctly trust you with the lion's den and protect you until you get to the other side. Daniel and resurgence, your behavior show that you can shoulder this and God still loves you even in a den season. Dear football fans in here, do you know that there are periods in the game when the play calls for the protection to break down? It's called a jailbreak. They let the defenders come in, and what the quarterback has to do is stand in the pocket knowing he's going to get hit. But he takes the hit knowing that when I take it, if I can just hang in there and get the pass off, we'll complete a large gain. Let me repeat that again. He hikes the ball knowing they coming to take his head off. He sits back in the pocket knowing that the protection breaks down. And all he's thinking in my head is, if I can just hang in there, if I can just hang in there, if I can just hang in there, I can get this pass off and complete for a large. Somebody about to shout in a second. All God is saying to you is, I haven't stopped loving you. I'm just letting the blitz come in. But don't worry, even though you take a hit, you ain't going to die. I just need you to hang in there. Somebody needs to have a, can I just hang in there, praise. I know the blitz is coming. Let me hang in there. I know times are rough. Let me hang in there. I know it's bearing down, but I serve a God that if I let this ball go right here, it'll go for the best touchdown in my life. If you believe that, give God some praise. There's a witness that can testify that I didn't like the den. I ain't like the trial, but I recognize the extent of God's love for me. And I wouldn't have been able to fathom that extent if I stayed in my comfort zone. But do you know at the end of the text, the persons who tried to set Daniel up are put into the den themselves. Some of y'all Christians laughing way too much at that part. They're put into the den themselves. And I cut the movie off because you can hear the lion consuming the people. Now, I don't need you to have your enemies put into the lion's den, because those who try to set them up ended up being in there. And those who come against you, you don't need to have them eaten by lions, but the fact that you came out on God's side is victory enough. You thought God left me. Watch this, when pigs fly. You thought it was over, but when pigs fly. You thought the den was the end, but surprise, surprise, God hasn't left me yet. And just like Jesus, when the stone was turned away, he turned away the stone for Daniel, and we end up seeing victory on the other side. We believe in miracles, and God can provide protection for your life.